Welcome to the Holistic Horse Podcast. My name is Kira Burns, and today I wanted to talk about something that's not super pleasant, but something where I really think it's worth thinking about and talking about before it actually happens. And so some of you may or may not know, but I had my darling horse, Fox, euthanized 2 weeks ago. And while it is always hard and it's always terrible and all of those sorts of things, I have found that knowing the details, the logistics, the plan beforehand means that at least I'm not worrying about that at the time, so that it is just awful and terrible and full of grief, but there's not the stress of the unknown or making decisions or anything like that. So I thought today that I would kind of go through what that looks like, because I think unless you've actually had it happen, you don't necessarily know. And most people don't really want to talk about it, and so therefore, you know, you don't know until it happens. So in this particular case, I had time. I knew that it was kind of coming up, and I was just waiting for a real sign from him that it was time. And so I was lucky in that sense. It wasn't a emergency situation. It wasn't a huge injury or a bad colic or anything like that. And sometimes it is that, and sometimes it isn't. And so I was lucky in that I kind of knew. But there's a few choices that you can make when it comes to that end of life decision, and I just want to go through a few of those. So there's obviously the method used. So that would be whether you opt for a vet to come and euthanize, or whether you opt instead for the horse to be shot. And I think there are pros and cons to each, and people who have experienced these various methods will tend to have their favorite. not that it's a favorite thing, but they tend to have the one that they prefer and feel the most comfortable with. So I know that for people who prefer the shooting option, they say that it is quicker, it is less stressful, it can be done while the horse literally has their head in a bucket of feed, they don't even know what happens, etc., etc. And they prefer this. I have only had that method once, and I did not have a good experience with it. So for me personally, I won't go back to that. But that's my personal experience, and I've been fortunate in that I've always had vets available, and so I've not had to use the other method. And if I had to, if there was no vet available, and that was the thing that would get my horse out of suffering more quickly, then yes, obviously I would use that. In my personal case, I prefer the vet option. So in the vet option, they come out, they tend to sedate the horse first. You can also opt for, although it's far more expensive and they don't tend to want to do that, although it's done really regularly overseas, they don't tend to want to do it here, but you can opt for full general anesthetic to be given to the horse before the actual euthanization, so that you can be 100% sure that the horse is not in pain, that they are completely calm and relaxed and all of those sorts of things, and also just so that they lay down a little more gently than if we just do standing sedation. So the injection that's given is Lethabarb, so it's otherwise known as the Green Dream. So it's a green fluid. They tend to give, for a full-sized horse, it will be 3 syringes worth of it. And essentially it stops the heart. That's the general basis of it. So here I'm going to give some warnings, and just so that, again, so that people know, it's in the case of the vet, or in the case of shooting as well, if you're going for standing sedation and then the lethal barb, or just standing and then shooting, they go down in a way that seems really horrible. And so if you are doing this with the vet will tell you not to hold on to them because they will just pull you down. It looks awful, I will admit. To me, that's one of the worst parts of it, is that it just looks awful. And so for general anesthetic, sometimes they go down just a little bit more gently. And then you also have that bit of time, only a few minutes, but you have a bit of time while they're just under the anesthetic, before the lethal barb's actually given, where they're still alive and they're still breathing and you can still be with them and they can hear you and sense you and all of those sorts of things, but they just are laying down. So they give the lethal barb, the horse goes down, and then the vet will check for any sign of a heartbeat. And they will also check the horse's eye to make sure that they have indeed passed. Then you get to the body and disposal of the body. So there are a few options with the disposal of the body. One is cremation. I've never done this myself. I believe that it's exceptionally expensive and there are only very few places where you can have it done. But if that is something that you want to do, obviously look into that. But my recommendation is to look into that long before you actually have to make the decision. Again, it's just something that you want to know ahead of time what you're going to do on the day, so that you're not having to make big decisions like that, as well as the big decision of having your horse put to sleep, as well as the huge grief. You just don't want to make huge decisions on a day like that. So if cremation looks like something that you would want to do, then I would recommend looking that up, finding where you can get that done that's logistically close enough to you, what sort of prices are involved, and whether or not they organize transport to their facility, or whether you would actually have to get the transport done. Then you have the option of the body being taken away. Now, I will also say that in some cases I've heard of, with the shooting option, having someone from the knackery come and shoot the horse and then they take the body away. So if it's shooting rather than lethal barb, then you can actually have the body taken to the knackery because it's safe. It doesn't have that poison in the blood. So that is also an option. But otherwise, you have the body taken away, or you have the option of burial. So burial is obviously going to be determined by whether you have your own property, or if not, whether the property owner is happy for a horse to be buried there, whether it is logistically possible for a horse to be buried there. Is the property big enough? Is there a space that's not near a waterway? Is there enough space, and can you dig deep enough without rocks to make it possible to bury a horse? And if you're going to go down the burial route, you usually get someone, ideally they have some experience of it, but most people with an excavator can work out how to do that. They obviously need to make the hole exceptionally deep, and they usually have to bring slings because they are going to be the ones that are going to lift the body into the hole. And I'm going to say this again, if you have the body taken away, but my recommendation here, and I did the first time I was there and I watched, and I have not done this since. So I have now, whether I'm having the body taken away or whether I'm having it buried, whoever is doing that, I give them the money for their service and I walk away. And because watching the body being picked up and moved is horrible. And so that is my biggest recommendation, is do not stick around to watch that. You just don't want to. It's just, everyone I've spoken to where they've done that, it has been an image that has stuck in their mind and it's just awful. So that is my recommendation. Whoever you use is probably not going to need your help to do it. So just leave them to their job. I like I say, I pay them and then walk away. Alternatively, obviously I can wait until they're finished and then pay them, but that's just my personal preference, is just to pay them and then walk away. So that's what will happen if you bury the horse. So when it starts off, there'll be quite a mound, and then gradually the earth will sink, and so you may end up with a slight hollow in the ground there, or it may just end up flat, but the mound is not going to stay around. If you opt to have the horse taken away, there are people who do this. Again, it's something that's worth looking into before you actually get to that point. But if you opt to have the horse taken away, honestly, the body will go to landfill. That's where they take it. So just a heads up, if you're concerned about that, if you are someone who is particularly attached to the body, that's where they go. Just so that you know, and that's not to sound horrible or disrespectful, but I just prefer to know. I prefer to understand what I'm choosing in each of these scenarios. I will also say here that if you think you may want to have jewelry made with your horse's hair, to again remember to get that hair before the body's taken away or moved. So you want to cut out a nice long thick part of hair as much as you can, so that they have a fair bit to work with, and they're going to want to work with tail hair rather than mane hair or the forelock. So that's the logistics. I possibly will do another podcast where it comes to actually deciding to make that choice. But these are things where I really do recommend that you look into them before you get to that day, so that you don't have to think about it, you don't have to worry, you already know what the plan is and you can just go ahead with it. And some of this is also just a warning about the hard bits and how to make it slightly less hard for you. The other thing I'll say here is deciding whether or not you want someone there with you as a support to you, and, you know, potentially to your horse as well. And I think sometimes I've heard that a lot of people don't realize that this is even an option. So when I've offered this to friends or clients to be there to support them, they haven't even realized that that was something that you could do, but it certainly is. I don't know how many people actually do it. I do it for clients or friends or even just people that I haven't met who find out about it. I know of someone else in New South Wales who does this, and basically all your support person is there for is to just be there for you, to just support you in whatever way you want to be supported, whether that's dealing with the body afterwards, so dealing with the excavator or the person who's going to take them away, dealing with the logistics of it, whether you're someone who, you know, wants to be just have someone there and kind of loving, caring support, whether you want someone, you know, to give you a hug or hold your hand or anything like that, just remembering that that's actually available to you. And if you don't have someone who can actually help you through that, there are other things that can help. So there are resources. There is even, I have a two mixes of bush flower essences. So one is for the human and also the other animals, the other herd members as well, who are going to be obviously in grief. So there's one for them, and then there's one for the actual horse that's coming to the end of their life. And that's obviously more useful in the case of the one for the actual horse, where it's not an emergency, where it's kind of an older horse and you know that that's coming, then that can be really useful. And on that note, with the other herd members, I have found that I know that people say to show them their friend, and to a certain degree I do it. I don't 100% know how useful it is. It's varied between the horses that I've done this with, whether they kind of need to see that or whether they don't, whether they give a response to it or not. Most of them will spook at the body and be quite unsure. Some of them will want to sniff and will want to, you know, to observe, to sniff, to be with the body. Others don't want to have anything to do with it. Others are disinterested. So I think it depends on the individual horse, but certainly I do offer them that opportunity, even if it seems that they don't really need it or that they're not really interacting with the body at all. I still offer them that opportunity. If they've been living in the same paddock, I want them to kind of understand what's happened. And on that note as well, please do not underestimate how much herd members feel grief. So my horse Fox, when he lost his paddock mate a few years ago, I honestly think it took him the better part of 9 months to return to his full normal self. So he was visibly distressed for at least a month, even though he had another horse in with him and all of those sorts of things. And then it was still a good 8 months before I really feel like he moved through his grief completely. So please don't underestimate that, that will definitely happen, that they do definitely experience grief, and some of them will show that more than others. And they'll obviously be like people where they'll show that in different ways. So there you go. That is the fairly unpleasant topic, but it's one that we really need to talk about more, because I think so many people go into it not really understanding how it works, how it's going to look, what to expect, and without having a plan in place. So they're trying to make hard decisions on the day where they're already making the hardest decision when it comes to having horses. So I hope that that's helpful to you. I hope that you don't need it anytime soon, but I hope that gives you a bit of an idea if you've not experienced it before. So thank you for listening. And as usual, you can follow me at Synergy and Freedom on Facebook or Instagram, or go to synergyandfreedom.com. And if you do feel like you would want support at that end of life stage or through that end of life period, please do reach out, because it's certainly something that I do. And if it's not something where I can support you either remotely or in person, I will endeavor to find someone who can. So please do reach out, because while it's not the most, it's certainly not a fun service that I offer, it is a real honor to be able to support people and support the horses at that point. So it is really something I'm actually quite passionate about and quite honored to be able to do. So please do reach out if that's something that you are potentially facing in the near future. Thank you.